This is the Uncommon Man Podcast.
Alright, welcome one and all to the Uncommon Man Podcast.
Or Tump.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, really. Alright, anyway, so hi, welcome once again. We're the place where we talk about, movies, games, miscellaneous forms of geekery. We just like to call it Tump.
I said that.
Why must you undermine me?
Because I love you.
Oh.
It's reverse psychology.
So sweet. Anyway, on today's show, well, let's start out with this, actually. We don't like to toot our own horns a lot because, frankly, there's really not all that much to toot about.
You realize you never introduced yourself.
Do I have to do that?
You might want to.
Well,
what if there's someone just tuning in for the very first time and they've never heard us before?
Well, you know, that's true. I have to say that because, I'll introduce myself. I'm Adam Bell, and that's Duggar, and, no, you don't get to introduce yourself.
They can see me wave. It's fine.
Yes, it's okay. But anyway, so I say this, and he's right to say I should introduce us because we actually got a mention on joystick.com, which is a big video game news site, video game community, sort of. And they do a weekly thing where they mention notable podcasts that they've seen around the net. And they've given us a mention on their page. They linked to us, and they said a little something, which I'll quote right now. While not updated quite steadily enough for our taste, this podcast does have a nice chemistry between its two hosts. Also, we love the way that they jump right into interesting stuff without wasting time with navel-gazing and housekeeping for the first 5 to 10 minutes of their show, like so many other programs. Also, one of our favorite podcast names ever. Well, thank you so much, Joystick. And might I say, there's a lot to be said for navel-gazing sometimes, and you know, just housekeeping. You know, when we get mentioned like this, it's nice every now and again.
It is, and I extend my thanks as well. And they said we have chemistry.
They said we have chemistry.
We have chemistry.
They're so nice.
But yes, it's nice to see the mention. I think, like you, that we were sort of living in obscurity.
Something like that. So for that very reason, we thank you and welcome you, in case you're a new listener who has found us by way of Joystick, or actually I've got an email that said we had been submitted to another podcast index called pod-planet.com. So apparently someone submitted us to that, so thank you, whoever that was out there. Write us an email so we can thank you properly.
Indeed.
But, in addition to that, we have a couple of things that are just worth mentioning here up front. First off, we've seen that apparently there is a game in the works, which I have to applaud. It's a concept that's been debated here and there for a good amount of time, I should think. Especially
viciously debated.
Especially since the internet rolled around, and finally, maybe this will settle the score once and for all. A developer has taken on a project. It's a dodgeball game, where the opponents are pirates and ninjas.
Let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
Pirates, ninjas.
Dodgeball. Yeah.
And we're not talking Ben Stiller dodgeball.
Oh, no. This is cutthroat dodgeball.
Indeed.
And it will be. I mean, I have to stick up for my ninjas here because, I am firmly on the ninja side of this debate. And, you know, I mean, I could be, let's say I could be a cool, merciless, insanely fast and magic even killing machine.
Or you could be Johnny Depp.
Or I could be Johnny Depp. Or I could star in a series of hit Disney movies.
Actually, what we should do is submit to Ask a Ninja his thoughts on Dodgeball.
We really should.
And anyone else who's listening, if you want to do that before we do, since we're very busy, please feel free. I want to see what he has to say.
Make it an email campaign.
And for those of you who might not have heard, AskAninja.com, wonderful site.
Yes. So along that sort of that same vein, involving ninjas anyhow, we have a we have recent news of a new GameCube game that is going to be released fairly soon, called what is it? Power Rangers Super Legends, and it's going to be 2D gameplay and 3D graphics. A GameCube game where you play from the first set of Power Rangers up until like the set that's going today, which I think is Operation Overdrive now.
And I would like to stress that it's a GameCube game, GameCube title. Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But if you think about it, it's just sort of interesting that they choose the GameCube as the format with everyone switching over to their next gen.
Well, I think if they had chosen the Wii to make the game on, that they would have felt that they would have had to tack on some Wii functionality, and it's better, I think, to just forego all of that.
Yeah.
And you know, to avoid the opinion that you've just shoehorned some Wii functionality into an existing game, rather than, you know, just making a GameCube game to begin with.
And then another thing to mention for the Uber Geeks among us, Blizzard recently announced its next expansion for World of Warcraft titled The Wrath of the Lich King, or I don't know how you would pronounce that.
Wrath of the Lich King.
Yes, people all have different ways to pronounce
Lich
that.
Lich King sounds like some terrible skin disease or something.
Yes, it does. But, so is there anything else that you felt was worth the mention?
You know, not really. There hasn't been an awful lot going on because it's the summer, and usually with video games, anything like that, you're going to have a fairly slow summer. But, you know, we're going to have a great fall season with Metroid and Smash Brothers Brawl.
I actually was looking at the Metroid Channel's trailers the other day, and oh, I'm so looking forward to Metroid. Oh, you have no idea.
I heard it had been really hinted at in the trailers, the new trailers for Metroid, that Mother Brain was going to make some sort of appearance in the game.
Yes. What it is, they talk about a computer system called the Aurora.
Uh-huh.
And it's this supercomputer, and it's linked together. And when they show you pictures of the Aurora computer system, it is the Mother Brain.
Okay.
It's just, there's no, for the longtime fans, you look, you know.
you see the Turian boss battle section, yes.
Yes, you do.
I've seen that screenshot, actually. So yes, that's all for our opening segment. Meet us on the other side of this break. Here's some music now. Have fun.
Go!
And welcome back to Tump. As we discussed in the introduction, Blizzard recently announced its next expansion for World of Warcraft, the Rise of the Wrath. Forgive
yes.
me, Wrath of the Lich
That's
King.
That's all right.
And this is, it's interesting because Burning Crusade is not that old. And
it was just released this past year, wasn't it?
Something like that. I mean, I play World of Warcraft, but I am by no means an avid, you know, waste my life type of player. Not that I'm insulting anyone who plays more frequently than I. It's just, it's a game I play for amusement rather than serious...
life goal.
Serious entertainment. It's just something I play when I'm not really doing anything else. Now, originally, when the game came out, you could reach level 60, I believe it was, and with the Burning Crusade expansion, you could reach level 70. So naturally, with the release of the Lich King, you will be able to reach level 80. And they've introduced a hero class called the Death Knight, which you have to have a level 70 character to obtain. And they on their website, they tout it as brave the harsh new continent of Northrend, the icy domain of the Lich King. Engage in epic siege warfare, deploying mighty siege engines to lay waste to the destructible buildings in your path. Transform your hero's look with new character customization options, including hairstyles and dances. Explore perilous new dungeons filled with some of the deadliest creatures and greatest treasures on Azeroth.
All PR claptrap is the same.
Exactly. And see, my only... World of Warcraft isn't a bad game, really. It's just that at this point, they've got to PR it, because World of Warcraft is largely a repetitive game.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's a bad title, I enjoy it, but let's face it, they're not really changing anything. It's still the same set of classes,
mm-hmm.
the same set of races. It's just higher levels and more damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, better items, different items, new items. It's not. It's really just the old hat with a new paint job,
mm-hmm.
which was a really bad analogy.
Old hat with a new paint job? How often do you really paint hats?
You know, we'll save that question for another day.
Okay.
But, I mean, and I know that you're just an absolute fan of Warcraft.
Oh, absolutely. It's probably due to the fact that I run a dial-up internet connection when I'm at home. I only get the joys of high speed when I'm leeching it off someone else or when I'm at school, so there is that. But more than that, it's probably because I'm not really much of a social gamer, or if I am, I like to be social with people who are immediately, like, there with me, not people who I can't see, who I have to chat with, and, you know, by typing it out. Not that I mind chatting with people online, but it's just that, you know, I'd much rather have a conversation with someone in person rather than over World of Warcraft or AIM or anything like that, let's say.
Yeah. And I'm sure that this will be fun. It's just, I wonder how much longer Blizzard's going to be able to milk this.
Well, see, and this is the thing. This is one thing I actually wanted to ask you, is when you first got into World of Warcraft, was there like a steep learning curve involved? Or probably not for you, because you'd been involved in another MMO before.
Well, yeah, but you really can't. City of Villains and World of Warcraft are extremely different.
Right, apples and oranges, I'm sure, but...
I still don't know at all. I mean, my brother, he learned it a lot faster than I did. He's got key bindings, macros, and all this stuff. I'm still very clunky. Like I said, I only play recreationally,
mm-hmm.
and I there have been people that have gotten quite mad with me because I can't just, you know, bah, 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 bah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hit all these keys and everything, and it can be a little complicated, especially if you pick a class that has a lot of external commands or
mm-hmm.
things to keep an eye on. You know, if you're a healer, you've got to constantly be watching everybody's health, because if someone dies, everyone lays the blame on
right.
you.
But yeah, that's another thing that keeps me out of MMOs for the most part, is that they're very intimidating to me,
mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there's this steep learning curve involved with whatever you play.
Yeah, well, now, my dad picked up World of Warcraft, and he got into it pretty well. I mean, but I think that if you're going to get into it for your own sake. I enjoy playing on my own. And I have a couple of friends that I enjoy playing with. By and large, I don't just play with random people because, let's face it, people are dicks.
Well, I think it's pretty much that way anyway. Because, you know, you don't normally just go out and find a random group of strangers to guild
mm-hmm.
with.
Well, and the reason that I make that statement, by the way, is just, you know, it's like you find people and you play with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have these real sour attitudes, and it's like... It's a game.
Yeah.
It's not even a game that's building towards any sort of conclusion either.
Right.
You know, I can pick up and put in Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest or Xenosaga, and there's a beginning, and there's an end to the story.
But you don't get that community experience, which is where the trade-off happens.
I guess. And don't get me wrong, community's fine. But to be that obsessed and that anal about a game that... I mean, now, I suppose if you're looking at it as... Because you can make money off of it. People have. You can gold farm and sell it on eBay.
Is that legal anymore?
Yeah.
I thought eBay quit doing that.
Oh, well, if eBay quit that... But I know you can sell gold.
Mm-hmm.
You can't... there are even sites that do it.
Mm-hmm.
They have employees that farm gold,
right.
And then the company sells it. But anyway, so yes, World of Warcraft, next expansion... It looks interesting enough, but I just think that they're trying to put a new face on an old game.
So, we're back, and we're going to talk about something that, it's suspicious, technically, but, you know, by now you really should expect this sort of thing. EA, Electronic Arts, is one of the largest software publishers / developers in the industry, I should think. They've got, basically all the major sports franchises under their belt, and... Medal of Honor series, just
Superman the movie,
innumerable other things, and so they're a very big force in the industry today. But recently, Joystick brought up a news story that, let's just dive right into it. Basically, someone using a tool, a Wikipedia scanning tool. Found that an IP address, someone from a certain IP address that has been linked to the EA headquarters in Redwood City, has been going in and editing EA's Wikipedia page quite heavily over the past pretty good amount of time. And it said basically one-third of the, let's see, it's about 1,300 changes made to the article were made by IP addresses that were registered to EA. So.
And just to ballpark it in case you don't feel like doing the math, that's roughly 400.
That's what? Roughly 400 what?
Roughly 400 changes, alterations.
Oh, I see.
Modifications.
Yes. Yeah. So anyhow, in... In November 20th of 2006, somebody, whoever this was, had erased the original founder of the company, Trip Hawkins. They erased his name from the article.
Whoops, red flag.
I know, seriously. I mean, what do you say to this?
I mean, what makes me laugh is, if you're going to lie, at least sprinkle it with a little bit of truth, because truth is always going to be more powerful than a lie. And if you'll notice, if you'll go back, you look at history, the best lies are always built on a foundation of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you'll look at politics, most political lies are simply the truth interpreted or spoken in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So...
We're not going to name any names here, because we're not that kind of show. But... So in addition to that, we also got a story from Joystick this week.
They're just popular this week.
They are.
Maybe it's because they mentioned us.
We like to kiss ass sometimes. It helps, I think. And it can't hurt. But anyway, they also ran this story about how... We know. If you look at the game industry for any amount of time, you know that developers will periodically... airbrush, just touch up their screenshots in Photoshop before they get released to the public to make them look
marketable.
marketable better than they actually would in the game.
Well, appealing. They're trying to win your support. They want you to be interested in their product.
Right.
Which is, I don't think, a bad thing. I mean, all businesses want you to be interested in their product.
Exactly. It was like this a couple of years ago when they first released some of the trailers for the PlayStation 3 games, and they said these were actual in-game things, and then people came out and they said, that can't possibly be, you know, that... And as it turns out, some of those games have released, and they don't look nearly as good as they did in the videos. And you know, now Sony is backtracking and saying they're target videos of what the developers were shooting for.
Of course.
Right.
And people, I guess, also they were trying to show what the system could do at full operating capacity.
And it's not just limited to the PS3 and Sony. So I don't want to just. I know we harp on Sony a lot for being
bad.
Yes, but they also did it with Red Steel when the first screenshots of Red Steel came out. I know you're awing about Red Steel and the gameplay, but
one of the worst Wii experiences I had, and that's saying something because the Wii has had some pretty solid, pretty fun games.
It really has, but. When they first released screenshots of Red Steel in Game Informer magazine, they had an exclusive of it. The screenshots looked really nice, really, really polished.
They did.
Popped out at you.
They did.
And when we finally got the game, it just wasn't that way. It didn't look hardly anything like that. It looked like your run-of-the-mill game. And we were kind of disappointed. And then I think Ubisoft, the developer of Red Steel, also sort of backtracked and said, well, you know, that's not really screenshots. That was more, you know, target screens of what we meant for the game to look like in a perfect world, you know, barring hardware inadequacies, whatever. But recently, I bring all that up because this past week we've had a story concerning EA again, and you may not know this word, everyone out there, but we knew this word for a little while, but we haven't actually said it on the air for whatever reason, because we really haven't had much reason to talk about it, I guess. But the word bullshot was that's BULLSHOT was coined by Tycho and Gabe of Penny Arcade, and basically, it's their term for a screenshot that the developers have airbrushed, photoshopped, whatever. And we had a pretty clear example of it this past week with an EA title. NBA Live 08, a basketball game, came out with some new screenshots on GameSpot this past week. And in one of the screenshots, it's the Raptors versus somebody who I can't see and I don't know because I'm not a basketball fan, but then if you look at the left side of the picture, you can clearly see that part of a player for the Raptors team has been sort of airbrushed out. It's like someone was working in Photoshop and didn't scroll all the way to the left before they saved the thing and sent it out, and nobody bothered to supervise that, I guess. But I think there was actually a big uproar in Britain about this. They were trying to get some truth in advertising. Call of Duty 3, I think it was, for the Xbox, they had a target video or like a rendered cutscene or something like that that they were showing for the commercial, implying that it was actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to get some advertising standards agency to step in and pull it off the air or make them replace it with a different commercial or something like that. I mean, what do you think about all this?
Well,
Do you think it's fraudulent for...
I don't necessarily think it's fraudulent, because movies will also often show clips of things that aren't in the movies, or they're worded differently.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the most recent one that I can remember is the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer trailer had a line where Johnny jumps off a building, and what he says in the trailer and what he says in the movie are different.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to reel you in.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get you to buy the product and play the product. And I don't necessarily think it's fraudulent, because you know, from the time of they advertise to the time they put it out, of course things are going to change. Making it look prettier than it really is, well, what are actors and actresses walking down the red carpet?
That's true.
I mean, whenever you're putting something out there to show to people, to sell, to tout, mm-hmm. you never show what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
You always show the best.
I see.
What's the best you can possibly do?
So, yeah, you're right. I think it's basically up to the gamer to be wary when you're watching these commercials and say, oh my god, that looks just like real life. Well, you know, there's no game system under the sun, PC, PS3, whatever, that can reproduce things exactly like they look in reality. And we all know that now. And there probably won't be for a long time.
Well, all of the previous attempts have failed.
Right. You're always going to see something that's just a little bit off, whether it's like the frame rate or the way somebody moves or doesn't move or whatever.
Can we say Target Terror?
What about Target Terror?
Well, if we're going to talk about realistic gameplay.
I don't know. Target Terror is an arcade game that's actually a local arcade here. And it's basically a bunch of very Anglo-looking terrorists, quote-unquote, as they make their way through an airport, and I think it's a nuclear facility.
And the reason that I poke at it for realistic gameplay is the way that the game is shot. It is actual footage, and the actors react to two different scenarios.
Right.
You shooting them, and them shooting you.
Well, it's like, it's sort of like Mortal Kombat. Kind of. It's more in the vein of like the old Area 51 games,
mm-hmm.
and Maximum Force, that kind of stuff. It's actual people, actors, just acting out, shooting at you or whatever, and they're on a computer-generated background, and they're moving around based on what happens there. But yeah, you're right. It's a lot like that. But anywho, so yes, that's... So, if you're a gamer, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware all the time. What you see on the screen may not be actual gameplay. Really.
And in fact, it probably isn't. Get on my knees and pray. We don't get fooled again.
No, no. All right, so we have a treat for you. This recent teaser trailer released for a movie that we're looking very much forward to.
Indeed.
Give it a listen.
I knew the mob wouldn't go down without a fight, but this is different. They've crossed the line.
You crossed the line first, sir. You hammered them, and in their desperation, they turned to a man they didn't fully understand. Some men aren't looking for anything logical. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Starting tonight, people will die. I'm a man of my word.
Okay, so obviously The Dark Knight is the movie we're talking about, the continuation of the Batman Begins series.
Which is interesting because it's the first Batman movie ever that has not actually had Batman in the title.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of bold, kind of a bold choice. I mean, you know, pretty much everybody knows that Batman is also called The Dark Knight, but it's an interesting decision not to have the name in the title.
And I have to say that I'm very pleased with the way that the new Batman
mm-hmm.
is shaping up. I was extremely, extremely happy with the Batman Begins movie, and I remember when you and I went to see it that you mocked me for my edge of the seat, eyes glued to the screen attitude about the whole thing.
Well, especially since you must have seen it at least 7 times before.
Only 2, thank you.
But anyhow, so the voice you heard near the end of the trailer was, of course, Heath Ledger as the Joker, doing what you've mentioned to be a fairly good Jack Nicholson impression, you think?
It is, honestly. And if you'll pardon the terrible pun that I'm about to make.
Oh, good.
He really is a wild card here. And,
Boo!
You know, we've seen Christian Bale's performance. It was well received.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Michael Caine's performance. It was also very well received.
Very, very well received.
I think
Michael Caine actually might be the best recast of a character from the Batman movies.
I agree. He's good. And then Gary Oldman did a tremendous job as Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very much looking forward to seeing him assume the assertive role of commissioner.
Eventually. Maybe not in the next movie.
Yeah, maybe not, but I think that where his character is starting is very interesting because you don't usually see the pre-commissioner version of Gordon.
Very true.
And it'll be interesting to see how he evolves into the assertive, take charge James Gordon that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the cast as the first one was well received. So then we have Heath Ledger, who I know that you shared my initial opinions about this.
Right.
He's just not who I would have seen as the Joker.
A lot of people felt that way. And I think as we're going to see more, or hear more even, of what he does as the Joker from now until the movie's released, I think there's going to be a general, you know, sort of rising of people's opinions of him as the Joker. Because from what I can hear from the trailer, he's just going to be tremendous. I mean, really, really emphatic about the role.
I do remember saying, I don't know if I said it to you before, I said it on a previous podcast, but I'm holding my judgment on him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm not leery, it's just I'm reserving my judgment because I think his laugh was, I think, really good. Not a Mark Hamill laugh.
No.
But I don't know anyone who could possibly do a Mark Hamill laugh. Now, you do a pretty good laugh.
Now, I can't do the Mark Hamill laugh exactly as it happens on the cartoon because it was so good. And also, his vocal range is a lot better than mine is. But as some of you may know, and it was mentioned in a previous podcast or a previous episode, I do the voice of the Joker for a Batman audio play, an amateur audio play that is mixed online, which you can find at pendantaudio.com. Pluggy plug. It's called Batman the Ace of Detectives. Love it. Love it. I do the voice of the Joker, and I do draw heavily from Mark Hamill, but I just can't do the laugh exactly how he did. But the Joker sort of starts out a little high and then gets low, and then his voice just goes everywhere, up and down and all around. And
see, I think you do a really good.
And the laugh is very, very high, but it's so good when he does it. When I do it, it's passable.
Yeah, but now I couldn't do it. I'll say that right now. Well, so I think you have a talent for it. But now Heath Ledger's version of the laugh, it wasn't as high as Mark Hamill's, but it wasn't as hammy as Jack Nicholson's.
No, it wasn't as melodramatic either. It was very short. Whether that's because that was the only room they had in the trailer for it, or because that's how he's going to laugh, just in small bursts.
Now, see, and I wouldn't necessarily mind that, because in all actuality, in holding with the films, they are giving it a very dark, realistic, gritty tone, and I think that it's so key, it's so crucially important that they get the Joker right,
mm-hmm.
because he is such a hang-up for Batman. He's such a powerful villain, and he is Batman's antithesis.
And if the director does not do this with the next movie, I will be surprised. In Batman Begins, this might be a slight spoiler if you haven't seen it, but it's been 2 years, so you should have if you're going to. Anyway, in the end of Batman Begins, the Scarecrow is sort of defeated, and he's chased away by Batman. No, he's not. He's chased away by Rachel Dawes,
who tasers him to the face.
Awesome. But he just runs off on horseback, and we never really see him again. But by the end of the movie, he's not captured. He's not captured, he's not killed, he's just off somewhere, and we'd have no idea where
Nobody
he is.
Nobody is.
And I hope to God that the director does this with the Joker. maybe not runs him off or whatever, but the point is not killing him, like the Spider-Man movies are doing.
Well, see, I could see him doing this. Capture the Joker at the end, send him to Arkham, and then in the third movie, mm-hmm. through a chain of events, he breaks out mm-hmm. towards the end of the movie, mm-hmm. thus perpetuating the cycle of Joker's stay and escape.
Yes, indeed.
From Arkham. They also have... They haven't said whether or not some of the older villains have been established or if they will be established, because as it sounds, they're not going to create the Joker. He's just already going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, in the...
Well, I wonder if they're going to go into any of the origin story at all.
Well, I'm wondering if they're going to stick with the Red Hood origin.
Right. Well, that's really the only, like... That's really the only origin story we have, and even that's not necessarily right. That's just what the Joker can recall himself, and, you know, he's crazy, so...
And, you know, maybe they'll do flashbacks, but I like the idea of the Joker already being the Joker.
Right. And not having to establish him during the movie like in the first Batman movie.
But I just wonder how many villains that will make appearances will already be established, mm-hmm. Such as Catwoman or Killer Croc or the Penguin. Mm-hmm. Because if you'll remember in Batman Returns, they had to be created. Mm-hmm. For the sake of some sort of explanation.
Right.
And I thought that the end of Batman Begins with Arkham blowing up and all of the inmates escaping was a very nice setup, because any of the villains that he may later encounter could have already been in Arkham and escaped.
I think Victor Zsasz should have been featured a little more. He was in the movie, but yes, barely.
Well, I think that it was okay that he just had this cameo, because it hinted at who may be in Arkham already.
I see.
And I think that at the end, you know that he escaped, mm-hmm. along with the Scarecrow.
Personally, somewhere along the road, I'm hoping for the Riddler. Next to the Joker, he's probably my favorite Batman villain.
Don't get me wrong, Jim Carrey did a very interesting Riddler.
It was a funny Riddler.
But the writing of the movie just sort of took away from the character.
Yeah.
Edward Nygma is actually supposed to be one of the more formidable and more diabolical enemies of Batman. And in fact, in the comics, he's figured out the identity mm-hmm. of Batman.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be an extremely brilliant
because
man.
Because of some encounter he had with the Lazarus Pit or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something like that.
And it made him smarter for a little while, so he was able to deduce who Mega Man. Or what am I thinking? Batman.
Come back to Earth.
Batman.
Back to Earth.
Batman was. I'm sorry.
Leave Captain Land.
Sorry. Anyway.
That's okay, it's because we were talking about Mega Man X8 earlier.
So in addition to the Joker, of course, we have Harvey Dent forthcoming in this movie, played by Aaron Eckhart, mm-hmm. Who was in a few movies before this. I can't really name any of them besides Thank You for Smoking, I think. Anyway.
Now what I want to know is if he will have his fatal accident in this movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he will become Two-Face in this movie, or at least not as a villain for Batman. I could very easily see the setup being that because of the Joker, or mm-hmm. some kind of clash between the Joker and Batman towards the end of the film, mm-hmm. Harvey Dent is suffering his accident.
Yeah.
And that segueing into the development for Two-Face in the third movie.
It's been theorized a lot that the Joker is probably going to be the cause of Two-Face, Harvey Dent's accident.
The Joker can't be the cause.
No?
It has to be a fight between the Joker and Batman, because if you'll remember, Harvey blames Batman for his condition. Mm-hmm. And that's why he continues to pursue Batman, because he believes that it is Batman's fault that he is like that.
I don't
know,
it's just whenever I see, whenever I read in a comic, and I don't read many comics, but when I do, and Two-Face and Batman are talking, they seem to be pretty cordial with each other.
Well, and that's because you have Harvey Dent has split personality.
Right, right.
The Harvey Dent side of him...
Harvey and Big Bad Harv.
Yes, the Harvey Dent side of him is not... He's not angry with Batman, but he's certainly not pleased.
Mm-hmm.
But he is civil, and he does have feelings of guilt for what he's doing. And then you have the cartoon put it, the Big Bad Harv.
Was that just in the cartoon?
I don't know if it was in the comics or not. I'm not that much of a buff. I do remember that in the cartoons it was Big Bad Harv.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the Two-Face persona, who actually in the comics does argue with the Harvey persona about courses of action,
mm-hmm.
which is why he has the coin.
Mm-hmm.
There are times in the series where, because of the coin, the Harvey persona has won,
mm-hmm.
and Two-Face has not killed or taken drastic action where he could have.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just be interesting to see what they do with Harvey, but I would have to side with a lot of people in saying that the Harvey's accident will occur in this movie, which will open up the door for the third. Now, of course, I could be completely wrong, and all of the fans could be completely wrong, and they could just be introducing the character of Harvey and then have something happen to him in the third movie.
Mm-hmm, very much.
What I really don't want to see, though, is if nothing happens to him in this movie, that he becomes Two-Face at the very beginning of the third movie, and then that's the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really don't think that there's a lot of room for development when you create the villain at the beginning, like they did in 89 with Jack Nicholson falling into the vat at the beginning of the movie,
mm-hmm.
becoming the Joker and being the villain for the movie. Because it's just, there's not a whole lot of time for character development. There's not a whole lot of time to get into history.
Well, I could even see in like the next movie after The Dark Knight, I could see, I could see in The Dark Knight Harvey Dent being very much an ally of Batman and Gordon. And then in the beginning of the next movie, seeing him sort of have this problem with his split personality, and then maybe at the very end of that movie, having his accident and turning into Two-Face in preparation for the movie after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's even possible. I could see that happening.
And if anyone doubts a fourth movie, don't.
I wouldn't. Not at this point. The first one was entirely too good, and I have nothing but high hopes for the second one.
Well, and it looks like it's going to be very, very well done. The director, assuming that they can keep the same staff, the director has already said that he has a vision for where he is taking Batman theatrically,
mm-hmm.
that he has no plans to introduce a sidekick of any sort.
Now see, I don't want to see Robin or Nightwing or Batgirl or anything like that for a good while, but I would like to see Harley Quinn at some point. If the Joker
yes.
stays in the villain pool, I would love to see Harley Quinn at some point, because I think she's just dark enough that she could exist in a movie like this.
Yes,
with,
I agree. And what
and
it
still
might
offer good comic relief.
Now, what I think would be interesting is if they introduce not her Harlequin villain persona,
mm-hmm.
but if they introduce her as a nurse within Arkham.
If the Joker is locked up in Arkham at the end of The Dark Knight and Harleen Quinzel happens to be his psychologist,
that would be exceptionally well played.
It would be a nice hint like they gave us in the end of Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
Like something new's coming, you know? It would be a nice surprise and a good reach out to the fanboys.
So high hopes for The Dark Knight.
Very much so.
If you want to actually not, you've heard all there is to hear in the trailer, but if you really feel the need to see it, you can go to YouTube and it's uploaded by a dozen or so different people.
We'll link to it in the show notes also. Summer 2008 can't come fast enough.
Indeed.
And also, you wanted to talk about something else that you'd seen around on the internets.
Ah, yes. I am going to shamelessly plug here. This link will also be in the show notes. On YouTube, I look up random things because I have no life for another week. And the user, it's just some random guy, has put up
That's his username?
That's his username.
It's just some random guy.
Yes.
Okay.
I love his username. He has put up a series of shorts called I'm a Marvel and I'm a DC.
Mm.
Clearly poking at the I'm a Mac and I'm a PC ads,
mm-hmm.
where he takes their movie franchises from Marvel and DC, and he uses action figures and a lot of voice work. I have to say I'm impressed with his voice because he voices all of this himself. And he takes these figurines and these action figures and uses the circumstances surrounding the movies to just weave this terribly well thought out humor.
A comedic tapestry.
Yes, very much so. And at the same time, he has a I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC after hours set that's actually got a story to it while still weaving this same humor into it. So links to that will be in the show notes, and I highly encourage everyone that listens to us, check those out. They're so funny. They are so funny. And they make us look bad.
Okay, so that's about as much geekery as we have for you today. Sorry.
There will be more in a few months, I promise.
Yeah. Well, see, this is sad, actually, because this is going to be our last tump together for a little while, probably, because of our various obligations. You with your job, and me with my school.
Yeah, just so everyone knows when the updates cease with such irregular regularity.
Irregularity?
Yeah, well, next week the public schools here start back, which means I have to go back to work. And the week after that, I have 5 classes, all Monday night through Thursday night.
And I'm heading back up to school, so there's that. So I'm going to be kind of occupied, too.
We should be getting an update to you probably around mid-September when I drop by for my opening semester visit.
And I'll probably toss you little things every now and again, just tumps and tump pluses here and there. But nothing together again until September, thereabouts. But anyhow, so between now and then, the upside of that is that you have plenty of time to get in touch with us and tell us what you think of the show. Ask us questions, leave us comments, whatever. As always, you can do that at the email address, which is uncommonmail@gmail.com. Or if you prefer to talk it out, you can always call us at area code 206-888-6943. That's 206-888-6943. And you'll get a helpful little voicemail message there, and you can leave whatever you like. Obscene, whatever. You know, we'll listen to it, but we won't necessarily put it on the show.
However, if you do have any constructive comments, please leave them, and we will probably include them in our show.
All right. Well, thank you for listening again. This has been the Uncommon Man Podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Duggar.
And we will see you guys in a little while. So long.